Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Dusty White. I'm here with my friend, Pastor Bob Thune of Cormdale Church. On Wednesdays, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about the sins that we don't see.
Man, this is going to be a good one. It's based on an article, some writing from John Newton that's teed up for us by Tim Keller, which we'll get to in a moment. But this is one of those podcasts that I think is going to help you do some deeper, more foundational work in your own heart and soul toward the end of gospel transformation. So I'm excited about this one. But I guess first, Dusty, we should probably mention some snacks.
We got some snacks.
That's part of, you know, snack time with Bob.
All the way from Seattle.
Yeah.
But transported in luggage.
Right. So the Francis family, who are listeners to this podcast, recently journeyed to Seattle and apparently brought us a basket of their favorite snacks from Seattle. I guess these are Seattle specific. What are you eating there?
I got some flagship cheese crackers, Beechers. They're good.
Okay, those are good. I ate those. There's an odd thing here. I don't know how to describe it. It's like a dried, crispy mushroom.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
These things look like they look. Okay, so listeners are gonna appreciate this. They look like a chocolate covered something. So I reached into this bag like, oh, this is like a something chocolate covered, and I threw one in my mouth, and I realized it's actually a mushroom.
I'm going to just say this to me looks like sin because it's like chocolate. It looks delicious, but it's a mushroom and I just hate mushrooms.
But I want you to understand that when your brain is expecting something that tastes like chocolate and then what it gets is mushroom, it's a very disorienting experience. I had that happen to me and I was just like, I can't really recover from that. They're tasty as far as if you're expecting mushroom, but I was just expecting it to be chocolate.
So you follow that up though with...
Yeah, these little figs, some little Bajajero figs. Apparently, let me read to you.
Packaging's amazing.
Let me read to you from the packaging. The Spanish Pajarero fig has a thin, delicate skin and is softer, juicier, and sweeter than most other varieties. They work well on a cheese board or paired with fresh fruits and nuts. In case you're wondering, Dusty.
Yeah,
I need you to put this on a cheese board and bring it back for our next conversation. So thanks, Francis family, for blessing the Wednesday conversation with unique and interesting snacks. Dusty, you found this article. I guess this comes from...
Gospel in Life.
Yeah, the Gospel in Life, which is sort of the legacy ministry of Tim Keller. This started out as part of Redeemer Presbyterian Church, and I think it's now part of City to City, but it's sort of the thinking, writing, leadership of Tim Keller being carried forward by those who are carrying it forward. And it says that this article was originally written in 2013, and I guess they must have re-released it here this year. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. And this just came to me in some sort of newsletter or email that I've received and open up from time to time and read it.
As we always do, we'll post the link for you if you want to go check it out. But this is Tim Keller doing what he always does really well, which is he's reading the Puritans. Puritans are hard to read. They're old. They tend to write really dense sentences. Keller's going and retrieving the best insights from the Puritans, and then he's offering them up to you and saying, hey, let me take from this guy and let me just help you enter into his thinking in a way that will be helpful to you. And in this case, he's tackling some of John Newton's writing.
Which I love. Out of all the Puritans, I love Newton. I read him a little bit more in 2013, actually, on sabbatical. And I remember saying, man, if I was a Puritan, Newton would be my guy.
He wrote Amazing Grace. So if you like the hymn Amazing Grace, you like John Newton because he's the writer of that hymn. And so what you're going to get in this podcast is Bob and Dusty summarizing Keller, summarizing Newton. So you're four layers downstream.
Definitely the telephone John game. The reason it jumped out to me, Bob, is because we often are thinking about, you know, the big sins and we're staying out of the ditch from bad stuff. So think Galatians 5, Colossians 3, stay away from the flesh, live in the spirit. Okay, I'm doing it. You know, I'm doing the thing. Keep your head down, go. Don't do dumb things, right? Like that's often how we think about the Christian life. And the reason this got me is because, and the reason I think it's helpful to talk about is if you find yourself kind of coasting and you're not necessarily doing bad things, air quotes, then this is probably for you because it goes a little bit deeper. It gets under the surface of what they call, what Keller calls our small faults. And so if you find yourself even apathetic, this could probably awaken you, which it did to me. I read it and I was like, man, I think I got some work to do here.
I liked it for a different reason. I liked it because Keller makes the point in this article that all of our natural virtues have a shadow side. So you, listener, are probably naturally good at some stuff. There's some natural virtues you have. Maybe you're just a really patient person. Maybe you're very good in relationships. Maybe you're real disciplined and focused. Like all of us have some things that just come easy for us because of our temperament and our family. Keller says those natural virtues all have a shadow side as well. And that kind of is what these small faults represent, is the shadow side, the sinful side of stuff that you're very naturally good at. And the reason that resonates with me is because I think as we try to do leadership development in light of the gospel, if we ask, how does the gospel give us a different framework for human growth than just the best business book or the best leadership book? Most leadership books are going to say, you know, lean into your strengths, lead out of what you're good at, figure out who you are and go be that person, yeah. You know, bring your best contribution.
Go get it.
Only the gospel says, hey, even as you're bringing your best contribution, there's going to be repentance that needs to happen because you're a flawed and finite human person. And even your best gifts have a dark side that needs to be acknowledged and that the gospel needs to go to work on. And so what this helps us do is it helps us see as Christians, hey, the work of sanctification that Jesus invites us to is deeper work than just, yeah, get rid of the obvious sins, Dusty, and lean into your strengths.
Yeah.
It's actually a deeper, more prayerful awareness of, hey, how do even my strengths carry with them some temptations, some tendencies to darkness, selfishness that I need to address with gospel grace?
Just an example of that. So like if I'm good at like maybe getting stuff done, then there's a pretty good chance that I could cut some corners every now and then and be deceitful, right? Which this list gets into.
What we liked best in this little article, it's kind of a three-part article, but we're going to focus mainly on the first part because Tim Keller gives a list here of a bunch of small fault areas. And what he's describing is, so Dusty, you mentioned a few minutes ago, Galatians 5. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we have the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Keller says, these faults run contrary to the fruit of the Spirit. So part of what you want to think about as you're growing up in Christ is to ask, how can I see more of the fruit of the Spirit in my life? And if you're asking that, what you're going to want to see is, where are there places in my life that just are working against the fruit of the Spirit? They don't allow me to bear the fruit of the Spirit as fully as I should. And so there's this list of strengths that are also weaknesses, or virtues that have a shadow side. And he gave them all Latin names, which I find kind of funny. If you know Latin, you're going to like this list. Even if you don't know Latin, you'll pick up some of these because, of course, so much of our English vocabulary is based on Latin. But I think Newton had started this, and I think some of these are Keller's own. I think he just added to the list. But I want to read through. How many of these are there?
There's like maybe 9 or 10. And
yeah,
I think there's always going to be like one or two that kind of really jump.
I'm going to read through them, or we're going to read through them. And then Dusty, I'm going to make you tell me which ones. Which ones sound most like me?
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to make you, I think you'll be able to identify. Oh yeah.
Sure.
Bob, I think that one or two is
all right. You can do it to me too.
All right. So here's the list, a list of sinful, small fault areas that run contrary to the fruit of the Spirit. Dusty and I will take turns reading through these. The first one is austerus. Austerus is a solid and disciplined Christian, but abrasive, critical, and ungenerous in dealing with people, seldom giving compliments and praise, and almost never gentle. So the gold there is you're solid, you're disciplined, you're steady, you execute things. The dark side of that is you can be critical, ungenerous, seldom giving compliments and praise, and you lack gentleness. So there's a blessing in the discipline, faithfulness, but there's a dark side of criticism.
The second one, you would say,
Infitialis
is a person of careful, deliberate character, but habitually cynical, negative, pessimistic, usually discouraging, that'll never work, unsupportive, and vaguely unhappy.
So this person is careful. They're deliberate. The problem is they can also be discouraging. Like, well, that's probably not going to work because you haven't thought it through as much as I have.
Debbie Downer.
The third, and again, these Latin words are just titles they're giving to these sort of character types. They don't matter.
They're not real.
They're made up by John Newton and Tim Keller. Pulsusis. I think this is from, like, this person has a pulse. Passionate, but also impulsive and impatient. Not thinking things out, speaking too soon. Often needs to apologize for rash statements. This person's passionate, but they're impulsive and they say stuff without thinking about it and then they have to apologize.
Querulous, a person of strong convictions, but known to be very opinionated, a poor listener, argumentative, not very teachable, very slow to admit that they were wrong.
The next one is subjectio. Sounds like a Shakespeare character. Subjectio is a resourceful and ambitious person, but also someone who often shades the truth, puts spin on things, is subject to misrepresentation. So this person's ambitious, but they shade the truth a bit. They spin things in a way that are favorable to them.
That's the person where you're like, is that true?
Yeah. Did that happen that way?
That story sounded great until right there. Then it seemed fake. Potestas. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
You think? Gets things done, but needs to control every situation, has trouble sharing power, has a need to do everything themselves, and very suspicious, mistrustful.
Potestas is the Latin word for power. And so you can see that I get things done, I got a lot of power, but I also kind of have a need to control. Fragilis, that one probably sounds familiar to you because the English word fragile comes from fragilis. Fragilis is friendly and seeks friends, but constantly gets hurt feelings, easily feels slighted, is often offended by real and imagined criticism from others.
Just make stuff up if your day's going too well.
That person might be mad at me.
Curiosus, very sociable. This is kind of like the life of the party kind of person, but enjoys knowing negative things about people, finds ways of passing the news on, may divulge confidences, enjoys confronting too much. This is the person that you wouldn't share that information with because you've been bit before by them.
Final thing on the list is Volatilis. Volatilis is very kind-hearted and eager to help, but simply not reliable. Isn't punctual, doesn't follow through on promises, is always overextended, and as a result may do shoddy work. Keller asks, look at these and ask which one or two most describe you. Have the courage to ask someone else who knows you well to evaluate you too. Again, it's important to remember that he is using these as a means of self-reflection. The danger when we read a list like this is like, well, I know a person who's like that. I know who needs to read that. But Keller's saying, hey, these are meant for self-examination. They're meant for us to say, okay, am I like that? How do I see that in myself? Where does that tee up for me? A place where there might be a natural virtue or strength that also has some darkness, a shadow side connected to it. So it's important, as you hear us read that list, use it on yourself. Don't use it on all the people in your life.
Don't be using it on your wife.
So, but I do want to do what he asked Dusty, have the courage to ask someone else like Dusty, who knows me well, to evaluate me too. I think there's probably three on this list that I could easily resonate with, Dusty. What do you,
totally.
Which one do you see as like kind of naming a little bit of my darkness?
Well, I'm going to go with two. I'm just going to pick two. Okay.
So
I'm not going to pick on you too much. I'm going to go with the first
one. I asked you to pick one, so you did twice as many. Yeah, it's okay.
Osterus, which is that first one that you read. And as you were reading it, I was like, do you want me to go now? Or do you want me to wait?
Solid, disciplined, but abrasive, critical.
Yeah, sometimes. And then we have to talk about it. You know, sometimes you got to run it back. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then Pulsisis, passionate. Mm-hmm. One of the things I love about you is you're excited, passionate, ready to rock all the time, but sometimes impulsive. Mm-hmm. And so we have to, sometimes, you know, we're apologizing around here.
Speaking too soon often needs to apologize for rash statements. Yeah.
Which I
got a few
grown, which you've grown in, you know?
Yeah. But I got plenty of stories of needing to apologize for rash statements. That is absolutely, for real in my life and in my soul.
So of this list, which one?
See what I did there? You gave me one.
One or two. I'll give you two since I went with two.
All right. I'm going to give you, I'm only going to pick one for you.
Yes.
Because actually, as I read these, Potestas, I think, describes you a little bit. Mm-hmm. You get a lot done, but sometimes you can get suspicious and you have a little bit of like a, man, unless I'm doing that, it's probably not going to get done right. And, darn, you know, right. I think you can see that in yourself. But the beauty of that is, but you get stuff done.
Yeah, but it's terrible. And even as we read that, I was like, I hate this one because it's so true. Like, yeah, man, I can get stuff done, you know, and I'm going to do it. If you give me something to do, I'm going to do it. But as far as like delegating, sharing, I don't know. Yeah. Cause I don't know if you're going to do it. Yep. And so what's interesting is even as you think about this list, as we're joking our way through it here a little bit, but I suspect much of these subtle areas that run contrary to the fruit of the Spirit in our lives also are there for a reason. They come out of our story. Like even that one for me, I grew up in a situation where like trustworthy people weren't trustworthy.
Yeah.
And so then I'm just like, okay, I'll do it. You know, well, now I'm 44 and still
doing it,
still doing it, you know, and that's a problem.
Yes.
It's sinful.
Well, I hope that what we've modeled just now from two pastors on a podcast is encouraging to the average Christian of like, hey, you know what? You got some blind spots. It's okay to ask your friends to help you see them. And it doesn't need to crush you. You can acknowledge the places where there's ongoing sanctification needed. If you don't have any, then you're Jesus. So since we all need sanctification, this list is helpful as a way of helping us see, oh yes, these areas of, you know, what he calls small faults, right? In other words, to go back to where Dusty started this podcast, you know, the first thing most of us do when we start walking with Jesus, we try to deal with obvious areas of sin. Man, I'm in sexual immorality. I got a bad mouth. I'm deceitful. I'm untrustworthy, whatever. We take the most obvious areas of sin and we kind of get to work on those. Probably if you've been walking with Christ for a while, there's some areas of real obvious sin in your life that have actually been put to death and you've seen change there. But these places are the places that they're more microscopic work or more self-awareness work. These aren't going to come out in real obvious areas of blatant sin. They're going to come out in your relationships. They're going to come out in your self-leadership. They're going to be evident to people around you, but sometimes not so much to you. So these are the places where the ongoing grace of God by the power of the Holy Spirit in the gospel needs to keep working on it, right? So, you know, as I think about my prayers for myself on that first one that you mentioned, mm-hmm. Dusty, like, okay, I can be abrasive. I can be critical. I can be slow to give compliments and praise. So that's a place where I just have to ask the Lord, God, give me more grace here. Like, what's the fruit of the Spirit that really needs to, by God's grace, land in my life more fully? Well, it's gentleness, right? And so that's one of the things I'm praying for, asking the Lord to continue to refine and work on. And it's also a place where I just like, I try to be quick to repent here. Like if somebody says, hey, you're kind of abrasive and critical, I try to go like, well, yep, I probably was. Like probably I'm going to assume that I was because I have that tendency. Instead of being defensive, be like, what do you mean I was abrasive? Right? I try to open my life up in this place and say, hey, if I've been this way toward you, it's okay to say it. And I want to own it. And I want to try to be as humble as I can to seek the grace of God here. So I hope that what we're trying to do, even as we have this banter with each other, opens a window for you listeners to say, okay, hey, I hope you have people in your life that you can relate like this with. And if you don't, I want you to move towards someone in this way and invite them into these places. This list is a real helpful place to start just to say, hey, what do you see here in me?
Yeah. And I would just say, Bob, we've been doing this a long time together and you have grown in your mercy and in your grace and in your generosity and charitableness. And so I know that doesn't always live in the public square. So
thank you.
We've journeyed together on that.
Yeah. And you've also grown in delegating and sharing leadership and trusting people. But, you know, I think that's the beauty of being in community together is you can not only help each other see this, but you can encourage each other. We're like, yeah, but you're better on that. You're growing in that place. I see the grace of God in you in that way. And we all need that. We all need that encouragement to know like, okay, I'm growing slow here, but I'm growing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what's beautiful about this type of article and this type of list is the Christian life is always one of transformation. We're never arriving. So even if you're not doing the big sins, you're still work that the Spirit is continuing to churn up in us. And I was coaching a pastor last week and on Zoom, and he's 48, and he said, Dusty, as I come off this sabbatical and move towards like reentry, I want to apologize less. I want like, and it actually like hit me hard. He said, I want to actually apologize less. And I want my Christian impulse, my Jesus impulse to be quicker. Hmm. So he's, you know, where we would normally be like, hey, yeah, you're going to repent a lot. You're going to apologize a lot. You know, it's okay. It's part of the Christian life. He's actually saying like, actually, I want to do less of that because I want to be more like Jesus.
Yeah.
And I was challenged by that. That's similar to this list. Like I want this stuff out of me so that I could actually walk in the ways of Christ more fully.
Yes. I'm just looking at something Keller says later on in this little article that helps explain or helps open this category up a little more fully for us. He says, people cannot see their sins often because they're only looking at their virtues. For example, someone may say, I'm not abrasive. I just speak very directly. And that there's truth in that. Like any good leader who has to make decisions and tell people what to do and lead something forward, they're going to be kind of a direct person. But he goes on to say, it's true that a direct speaking person may do good because direct blunt comments are sometimes needed. But overall, the abrasiveness is ineffective, and the person's boldness and confidence comes to some degree from pride and a lack of love. And for this reason, many, or perhaps most Christians, do not work on the supernatural graces of the Spirit that are not natural to us and that mitigate the dark side of our nature. So he's saying these are the places where we're less prone to go to work on it because we sort of excuse it as like, well, no, I'm just direct. Yes. I'm not abrasive.
That's my personality or right, my that's Enneagram how I am. Or, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's just how I am, man. And so the interesting invitation that the grace of the gospel has for us there is being able to say yes and. Yes, I am direct and that is a blessing. And sometimes that's abrasive. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's sinful. And sometimes that's out of pride. And sometimes that's out of selfishness. Being able to say yes and is crucial because it allows you to not apologize for having that strength or that virtue, but also allows you to acknowledge the dark side, the sinful side, the fleshly side of what that virtue can produce in your character and what people tend to feel from you. And so I think it's interesting that he says, sometimes when we're trying to celebrate our virtues or grow in our virtues or learn what our virtues are, we end up minimizing the sin that they can lead us into.
Yeah, and we just neglect it. You know, we don't have time for that. Just more strength, more strength.
Right.
The other thing that hit me in this article is, you know, like you and I are bantering back and forth moments ago, and he says, hey, you need to be willing to listen to the correction and critique from others. And he throws in this line that says, even if only 20% of what they say is true, it may be God speaking to you.
Yeah.
And if it's not like 70 or 80% true, I'm probably like dismissing it, you know? So like based on the whole of the conversation, I'm going like, oh, you're kind of off, you know? Yeah. So he's basically saying like, no, man, there's going to be nuggets in there that are the Spirit wants to do work in.
Yeah.
So be willing to hear it.
Yeah.
Which is going to require listening and humility and some of that stuff that we don't always welcome. We have to go do it on purpose.
One of the things I want to just fight for, one of the reasons we're even doing this as a podcast topic, is because I just want the church, I want Christians to love doing this kind of work. I want them to just say like, hey, this isn't scary. This isn't defeating. It's not like sad to look at the dark parts of your career. It's like, this is growth. This is sanctification. And I have grown up in an environment, and as a pastor, I'm often in worlds where I think what the evangelical church, broadly speaking, has done a good job of is holding on to the theology of the gospel and the doctrine of the gospel. But man, there's so many people in churches that just don't have people around them helping them do this work. And so they tend to believe the right truths, but it's just they miss the joy of ongoing sanctification. They miss the joy of the deeper work of the Spirit softening and refining these places in their lives. And so I just want to put this forward as a man. If we're going to be a gospel people, if we're going to be a Christ-like people, if we're going to be a people who believe that grace changes us, that it's okay to say that we're not okay. It's okay to have flaws and faults because Christ has died for us and the Spirit's been given so that we can change. And this is the kind of work that ought to give us joy. And it's the kind of work that ought to move us to prayer, faith, repentance, growth, love for Christ, not despair, discouragement, defeat. You know, sometimes these things, especially if you've been in a world where we're in a family where you've gotten a lot of critique, sometimes like, man, I just don't need more. I don't need more bad news. You know, I don't need more people telling me where I'm falling short. But what we do need is to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. And so it's important that people hear this, not as like, oh, I need some more places to do better, but as, hey, the point of my life is to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And so, man, I want to always be growing in how is the fruit of the Spirit being manifested in my life? How can I more fully manifest the beauty, the goodness of God as the Spirit brings forth his beautiful fruit in my character?
I think that's good. And it's just, we got to remember that the costly grace of God is also what covers this sin and also propels me into being able to be sanctified. You know, it's a continuing recognition of grace, not grit. It's both. Like I need to do both. I need to work at it, but I'm only working at it because of the grace of Christ. And he's pulling me into this work. And so I need to welcome it. Otherwise, the reason why this hits me is because if I don't do it, then I'm going to just be phony or shallow.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be either of those.
Yeah.
I don't want to cut corners. I don't want to be shallow. I don't want to like stop being sanctified at 44.
Yeah.
I'm hoping in my 60s, 70s, I'm like, man, God's going to work on me. Yeah. You know, like the gospel is so good. I want to be saying that now and then.
Yeah.
And this is the only way forward, I think.
Yeah. Well, as we've mentioned, we'll post the link to the article in the show notes. It's Bob and Dusty channeling Tim Keller, channeling John Newton. So hopefully, maybe if you go read his, or at least Keller's words, they'll add some helpful nuance. But thanks for engaging this topic with us, and I hope it helps you examine the shadow side of some of your natural virtues.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, thanks for listening in. We pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We always love to hear from listeners. So if you have thoughts, questions, future podcast topics, you want to send some snacks from Seattle too, you can send them, or you can send an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.